Warning, the movie review you're about to hear has not been approved by anyone, nor have the unwashed theater-dwelling miscreants who are delivering said review. Anyone with any information as to where this group is headquartered or how they keep sneaking into these movies, please contact your local law enforcement agency. What follows is a highly suspect review.
Mission. If you choose to accept it, make a film that makes it clear you've seen all the new James Bond films and try really hard to make Keira Knightley work in it.
Do we all have to talk like that throughout the
I
view?
I hope not. That's not what I signed on for.
I don't think I can.
Yes, you do. The whole time. And plus, this review will explode.
Well, let me go out to my car and get my Jack Webb nut vice.
Well, this is the Highly Suspect Reviews with the Unusual Suspects. I am Christopher Lawrence Cox.
And I'm Bo.
Elliot.
And Agent Martin Thomas.
Why? Because you're black, you get an agent? I don't get that. What is that? All right, I'll let it go. That's true. You probably... Yeah.
I don't know what black has to do with
agents. Does that count as my reparations? Because I'm willing to go with
it. Do I also get
sort of the opposite?
Did anyone even get called an agent in this? It was basically like, featuring special stock analyst, Jack Ryan. Really? Really? That's your big title?
We are reviewing Jack Ryan Shadow Recruit, which is the attempt by the company that owns the rights to the Jack Ryan series, Paramount Pictures, to reboot it yet again, because they did it once all... Well, they did it twice, technically.
Yeah, and the boot did not go on the foot.
Because you've got
Alec Baldwin.
Hunt for Red October.
But the Harrison Ford weren't technically a reboot per se.
Not necessarily, but you could consider
you,
them
You that. Could it because a... it's a new actor, but the conceit was that, well, Hunt for Red October happened, and then all of a sudden... Alec Baldwin aged into Harrison Ford.
Well, it wasn't so much a reboot as a regeneration.
Yeah, I mean, I will. Yeah,
Jack Ryan is not a Time Lord.
You can look at it like those two movies. Like chronologically, they come after each other. Whereas the clock went forward, but the actor got younger when it became Ben Affleck
and
for Some of All Fears,
which was most definitely a reboot.
And in this one, they're not fucking around at all. It starts off in 2001. Like, there are people running around with cell phones. It's like, oh, okay, this is contemporary.
Wait, do we not have cell phones anymore?
We didn't win Clear and Present Danger.
Oh, fair enough. Okay.
Yes. Somehow Jack Ryan was in his early 40s in the 80s, and now he's in his late 20s or early 30s.
Well,
year 2010.
Yeah, I mean, this is a complete reboot. This is essentially the origin story of Jack Ryan. The idea is that, you know, he's studying abroad, 9/11 happens, he decides that he's going to go serve his country.
For the record, a bit of a cheap.
It's not exactly the most original plot line in the world.
Well, just in a sense, as Elliot's trying to say here, I think, to punch the emotions of the audience.
Sure.
And I will give it a little bit more credit in that the plot of the movie is a little bit revolved around some of the theories around 9/11.
True. But anyway, Bo, you were saying, continue.
The inciting event in his life is he's at school, 9/11 happens, he's like, you know, 3 years later, he's a Marine in Afghanistan. He gets into an accident. Then he goes to rehab, you know, because he had a spinal injury. And during the rehab position, he is approached by a CIA agent who says, "Hey, I like your style."
Yeah, Kevin Costner.
Because
do you want to play baseball?
The school he was at was the London School of Economics, one of the most highest, you know, ranked schools of that kind.
Kid, you're good with numbers.
Kid, you're good
we
with
want
numbers.
You to be a spy.
But that's it. He's like, you know, you're like, oh, well, he's approaching you to be a spy. And he's like, well, kind of. What you're really going to be is a stock analyst. We are going to seed you into a Wall Street company that we suspect is maybe a cover organization funneling money to terrorists. And we want you to look at the numbers and make sure everything's kosher.
You're gonna spy, but you're going to do it in the most boring way possible.
You're going to be able to do it. In other words, you're going to do it in the effective real way that we actually spy.
And I had just for a moment, I was like, man, if only he had stuck him at Jordan Belfort's stock firm. We would have had a great movie on our hands.
If only they had stuck him at AIG, we wouldn't be in any of this fucking mess.
Did anybody get sort of a beginning of Star Trek feel out of those scenes?
Oh, I totally did. did. Yeah, there's no question that when they cast Chris Pine in this, they're thinking, let's give this a little bit of the young Kirk, the guy finding his way, but he's still kind of like, he's a badass. He's got something to prove. His superiors don't know what to do with him. There's that element is there.
And it seems like a no-brainer because Jack Ryan's supposed to be a little bit brash. He's supposed to have a lot of swagger. I mean, obviously, Baldwin and Harrison Ford played him before. For me, I wasn't getting it. I really wasn't feeling him as Jack Ryan.
Well, not only that. I mean, I haven't read the books. I don't know. I just felt like this isn't really a Jack Ryan movie. It's a movie.
Yeah.
And they got the rights to Jack Ryan, so they slapped it on him. I mean, the whole thing with him with the, you know, taking it to 9/11 and him joining the Marines, it was like, we need an excuse for a really smart guy to join the Marines.
Sure.
Yeah.
Because even as other people are like, I don't understand why you're here. Well, I'm trying to serve my country. 9/11. It's a catch-all. It's like, oh, well, okay, I guess. Well,
it's so informed by other successful films that have come before it in the last couple years. I mean, even like, you know, we mentioned James Bond, but you have to mention Skyfall because cinematographers are like, did you see that movie? We need every single place this guy goes to be just fucking incredible looking.
Right.
Yeah. You're like, I mean, to the point that, the Ryan series has always felt more... like a little bit more realistic, a little bit more pulled down to earth. And this one, it's like he fights a James Bond.
They literally went to the seven nice places in Moscow and did all their filming. Well,
and that's the thing. So much of it, it's like it can't decide. Does it want to be James Bond?
Oh, God.
Does it want to be Jason Bourne? Does it want to be Mission Impossible?
Does it want to be Silence of the Lambs? I mean,
does it want to be George Smiley?
There's nothing. Oh, God. Yeah, no. At the very beginning, there's kind of, like I said, he starts out as a stock analyst. And you're like, oh, well, this is kind of going to be, he's going to be the quiet guy that figures out these numbers and traces it back to, nope, that's not it. There's a lot of gear shifting in this movie, but ultimately there's nothing new under the sun. It is absolutely nothing you haven't seen before. It's just all put together in a pastiche.
Yeah, it's put together in a pretty pastiche, I will say.
Oh, yeah. And that's what I must say. It's like, through the whole thing, I was like, this script is really tepid. I don't feel that the actors have a lot of chemistry, but I think Kenneth Branagh does a good job directing what he was given.
Well, he directs it, and he stars in it as the main James Bond villain here, Victor Cheverin, who is... he's a James Bond villain.
Oh, he's totally a James Bond villain. His headquarters is the Russian Enron.
Yeah.
Well, I sort of took him more as a... I agree he's a James Bond villain, but sort of took him more of as a foil for where Jack Ryan's character in these movies could go if he went down the wrong path.
Really?
Yeah, because I mean,
wow, you read a lot of.
If you look at it, like he understood the stock market, obviously, because he's the one who formulated this plan, and this is where Jack Ryan could go if he was allowed himself to get influenced by the wrong sources. That's where I took it from it.
Can I mention something about this plan?
Yeah.
Can anybody explain this plan to me?
No, because it's very stupid. Their idea is they're gonna pull a terrorist strike, and then they're going to flood the market with money and somehow devalue the dollar. And it's just like, yeah, this doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, and, I think this is another part where the Star Trek influence comes in, because they get to technobabble about stuff that doesn't make any sense, or even if it does, who would know?
In fact, Kevin Costner, who is one of the better things about
He is one of the better things about
really good.
It's been a long time since I've seen a movie and gone like, well, I kind of miss Kevin Costner, old Kevin Costner. Hopefully he won't take this as a cue that he needs to direct anything again. But he literally
dances with Wolves of Wall Street.
God.
Oh, good Lord.
He literally tells Jack Ryan to explain this to me like I'm an idiot because I'm an audience member.
Well, there's that exposition moment. You're like, they always have to find a way to do it, but rarely does a film actually take the time to look at the screen and go, this one's for you.
Here you go, idiots.
And yet, once it's explained, it's like, if I understand this like you just explained it, this doesn't make a lot of sense.
No.
I'm sorry. I'll give you a second. I just want to say real quick, we haven't been clear. Ryan sent out to Moscow, where he goes from a guy who just works on computers to suddenly being forced to be an active operative when a big big motherfucking black dude tries to kill him in his hotel room.
The only black person in Moscow tries to kill him.
And tries to kill him quite competently, except obviously he doesn't succeed, because then that would be pretty stupid on the franchiser's part.
No, it's not comp, by the way. Hitman tip, if you're going to shoot somebody in the back of the head, don't do it while they're staring into a big fucking window. But just pro tip.
Ryan finds himself forced into the position of being an operative, while at the same time, his, I'm sorry, crazy girlfriend, played by Keira Knightley here, who doesn't know he's an agent, after repeatedly telling her, look, I'm out here on business. I'm super busy. I do not have, this is not a vacation, it's a work trip, decides to take it upon herself to just show up.
Show up.
And then they go, you know what?
Well, as long as you're here.
As long as you're here, let's let you do spy things.
Exactly. Yes. Because that's what the CIA does with civilians all the time.
Oh, well, not only that, but there's about 10 minutes where Kevin Costner gives him the whole lecture on, now that you've joined the CIA, you can't tell anyone what you do.
Right.
And however, here comes that modern superhero movie moment where he whips off the mask and goes like, yes, I'm in the CIA. And my boss is right here. And now we've told you everything. And since we broke protocol this much, hey, let's have you be an operative and join us on a mission.
By the way, the real CIA kills you. Yeah, just so you know.
Yeah, at that point, like, I'm sorry, dude. We told you.
Yeah, we
sorry,
told you.
Sorry, Blubbermouth.
Elliot, I'm sorry, man.
No reason to be sorry. I would say that I guess I have a little bit of a different opinion. I think I completely agree with y'all that the script was, there's a lot of hand waving, a lot of stuff that just was sort of, oh, you know, they'll just go with it. Like the part at the very, there's a part at the very end where it took the girlfriend to recognize that they're going to attack Wall Street. And it's like, you know, just by showing
the point seriously? Where like they look at a picture,
yeah.
All these pictures, and Chris Pine is looking at pictures where he works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he doesn't, it doesn't occur to him, but the girlfriend, so she has a reason to be there,
yeah,
goes,
yeah.
Don't you get it? He's like, wait, what?
Why are you still here?
At that point in the movie where, and this is like the set piece where Jack Ryan is like, looking at all these disparate facts on computers all over this, you know, AWACS plane.
Yeah.
And just pulling out little things and going, wait a minute, this means this. And
doing
this means
everything
that.
But and, skateboarding from one to the other.
I was just waiting for Jeff Goldblum to, like, walk out of the bathroom and go, but wait, man. Here's how it all breaks down.
I would say, even with that, I feel like the actors did such a good job. I feel like the cast, for me, the casting director sort of saved this movie because the script wasn't good. The director was good, and the acting for me, I felt the chemistry was there between Keira Knightley and Chris Pine.
Are you really? Fucking serious? I'm
I
sorry.
Thought they had all the chemistry.
They had zero chemistry.
Yeah, I don't think they were like chemistry.
I agree with them on the other points, though, actually. I think Kenneth Branagh did a fine job directing this film overall. The action scenes are filmed extremely well.
No, they aren't.
I thought they were.
No. The assassination scene with him and the other guy in the bathroom, that one was filmed well.
Really well.
All the rest of them I thought were terrible. I was like, I can't tell who's hitting who.
What about the...
I'm going to wait.
I didn't have that problem.
Oh, I totally had that problem.
What about the scene?
I'm going to wait until one of them is laying unconscious and the other one isn't.
Weren't you the guy who liked Quantum of Solace? The movie that decided to film all their action scenes by shoving them into the...
Are we reviewing Quantum of Solace?
No, I'm sorry.
Okay, but what about...
Because if we are... We'll do that.
My bad.
Okay, all right.
What about the sniper scene where Kevin Costner's covering him as he's going down the staircase?
Okay, can I tell you that? Okay, sure. That little bit, that 10, 15, 25 seconds is fine. But this is one of those movies that thinks that, hey, an action sequence is no different than people looking at screens.
Okay.
Looking at screens.
That's the script. Not the director.
That's not an action sequence.
That's the script. I agree with you. The script is flawed.
Who's got the final call on
this thing? The script is flawed as hell. And this script was written, it's based on a book called Jack Ryan by Tom Clancy. It was, David Koepp, who's written like tons of stuff.
Yes.
You're right. It is one of those films that, like, one of the ultimate fallacies in these movies that there have been satires made of it on like comedy show, on Saturday Night Live. But like, why is it exciting for us to watch people typing on keyboards?
It's really not.
You need to do this. No, it's control alt delete. God damn it.
Well, hack it to the mainframe.
My thing is, all of a sudden he knows like this very complex code. I'm like, I thought you were a stuck analyst. Like, how are you hacking this now?
Yeah. They really take him like he, all right.
They never really firmly define, okay, what is your skill set?
Yeah.
Are you like a badass Marine? Are you a stock analyst? Are you a hacker? Are you an expert actor, which apparently
he pulls out of his ass a lot of times?
No, he's supposed to be amazing at whatever, given the needs of the
sport. But, which would be fine, But they give him all these Mary Sue qualities, but then they want him to so bad to be this fish out of water. Yeah. And it's like, you can't do both of those. You can't.
And it's a shame because, like I said, I personally like Kenneth Branagh's direction on this.
I did too.
I had a good time watching it. I thought it was a fun ride in terms of once you get about a half hour in, because at first you're like, Jesus Christ, what is this? A fucking another movie about like, you know, I mean, like, is this that, what's the one you saw with, the Sherlock, with Sherlock in it, where he's,
Benedict Cumberbatch?
Benedict
Cumberbatch. Oh, the Fifth Estate.
Yeah, it was the Fifth Estate, just a bunch of people staring at computers and fuck, can we move this along? And then Keira Knightley going, I'm charming.
Not really.
Shouldn't I be speaking in an English accent? I
wish she would, because her American accent is pretty annoying.
It's pretty crazy.
It's like, oh, I know, I'll talk American, I'll just make it really nasal.
I will agree, like, you know, and no offense, Elliot, but I thought she and Chris Pine had all the chemistry of a sack of wet flour.
I disagree, because, like, there was a fight that they had in that movie that I've had that fight where you come home and you have no idea what you did, but she is, like, quizzing you and you're like, oh God, I'm in trouble.
No, that's
really. Have you had the fight where your girlfriend, girlfriend comes to your hotel in Moscow and finds an automatic weapon in it, and then surmises from that you're having an affair?
You know,
that's a weird fight to have.
I tell you, you know, I've actually had
that fight.
We all have a past that we don't talk about.
Kenneth Branagh is great with working with actors. And the strength of this movie for me was what came from Kenneth Branagh, Chris Pine, and Kevin Costner. All the men, they you know, they put it out there, and they had the charisma to make it work. Keira Knightley, who I've always been iffy about, was especially not good in this. And her character was written poorly.
I was about to say, really poorly. In her defense, the character is like, I mean, she's every, like, two-dimensional woman that's ever been in a suspense
movie. She doesn't have her own locus of personality.
Well, she is so forced into this film.
Yeah.
There's no point where you feel like she belongs in this story.
Exactly. There was, for about a third of the movie, I was going, you know, this would be a lot more enjoyable if her character wasn't even here. Who cares?
Yes.
I mean, and to the point, Chris Pine does the best he can with what he's got here, which, like I said, is a very silly script. Kenneth Branagh directs him being a badass who doesn't really know what he's doing until he's in the moment, and then suddenly the instincts kick in. But even so, he's smart enough to show that he's like, his hands shake after shit gets after it's over and he gets off. I mean, he's feeling the shell shock of all this, and that is very appealing, that quality of the young Jack Ryan. I liked that quality of the young Jack
Ryan. I did
too. I liked his relationship with Kevin Costner as his handler, who's like, oh kid, you have no idea. Seriously, this just gets worse. I mean, it's fine.
And that's the thing. Like, his relationship with Kevin Costner is great, and showing that, yeah, he has human reactions. And Kenneth Branagh as the Bond villain, I was like, man, I'd sure like to spend more time with him.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, there's so many of the other things that take away that valuable time. And unlike you guys who find it fun, I was bored through most of it.
I did. I thought there was some, and you know, it's completely visceral, gut level suspense.
Yeah.
And it's completely manipulative suspense.
It's all like we only have a lot of this.
There's a ticking clock, and oh my God, the bomb's gonna blow up.
Every action scene has a ticking clock.
He might kill the girlfriend, and oh God, there's nothing, like I said, nothing new under the sun.
But it works.
But there was definitely some edge of the seat moments, you know, and you feel stupid for being on the edge of your seat, because I know how this is gonna end. But, you know, it's still, if you're looking for, you know, with all the heady Oscar fare out there, if you're just looking for something to turn your brain off and you don't want to go see The Hobbit, hey man, go see this.
You know, that's the weird thing about this, I'll say, though, is because it spends the first 30 minutes making you think it's going to be a really smart, like, film.
Right?
Like, too smart for you.
Right.
And then it just goes, you know what, we're just going to have a bunch of people with time bombs and shit.
Oh man, I'm just kidding. I ain't no smarter than you are.
I'm one of the few people in the room that probably prefers Le Carre to Clancy, and I would much rather watch Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy than any of the Jack Ryan movies.
I never thought I would say that, but watching this, I was like, yeah, I wouldn't mind firing up Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy.
Where's Gary Oldman?
I don't know. I guess
let me turn my brain back on.
I guess for me, like, I like the setup. I definitely think the script was silly. I will definitely agree with that. But I just really like watching Chris Pine work. He's just so charismatic.
He's so dreamy.
Because
honestly, I was like, you know, if his hair is black, he'd be Archer.
Yeah, and he gets to actually do something we don't see him do often, which is actually have doubt. Yeah. He's scared. He has doubt. We don't. That's not Kirk, to be sure. Yeah. Once he gets to that point, and he pulls it off.
Yeah.
And I agree with you.
I feel like, you know, watching this movie, I can see him. You know, he's starring a movie that I know Martin hates called Unstoppable with Denzel Washington.
Oh, boy.
And I know you hate it, and I don't like it that much either. Yeah, I don't like it that much either. But I tell you what I'm seeing now with Chris Pine is he might become that next actor that can just carry a movie just with his charisma. He'll just have like an action movie, even if it's bad, just come out and he'll be good enough that people go see it.
Yeah, no, I agree. He might be that guy. It's too early to tell. He is following the Harrison Ford rule. If you get a big franchise character that everybody's going to associate you with, immediately associate yourself with a second franchise.
Right?
Because don't let them pin you down.
Yeah, don't let them pin you down. All you need is two franchises. If you have two franchises, then you can do anything you want for the rest of your career. But if you just have one, you're fucked. Anyway, let's go to final thoughts here, Martin.
Yeah, like I said, you know, besides, it started out like it might be a smarter movie than it was going to be, and then I found it to be kind of dumb. But the biggest sin to me was that I was kind of bored through it. I thought it was dull, and when it kicked into action, it was cliche and things I've seen before, and not all that well done. It's another one of those movies that has all the pieces of a good movie, and yet they don't really come together. At least not for me. Out of 10, I give this movie 4 shoe phones.
You gave me a Get Smart. I'm flashing back. I love that show. I think the script was very silly, and like I have a finance degree, and I was struggling to just understand what they were talking about with the okay, you prop up the dollar.
Well, actually have a degree in finance, and even you didn't.
No, I was like, okay, I think I know what you're talking about, but I don't really have any idea. But the script has a lot of hand waving, but I think that the actors and the directing propelled it a little bit higher, so I would give it 7 cones of silence out of 10.
Bo?
Well, as we said, the script's really tepid. There's not a lot of chemistry there between the two romantic leads. That aside, I think there is a little bit of fun to be had as long as you're willing to put your brain aside and just take the ride for what it is. You know, it's a good little matinee movie. I give it, out of 10, I give it 3 used copies of Ghost Recon.
Wait, you liked it better than I did. Okay, never mind.
I think we're confused about
I use scale. My own scale.
Sure.
Bo can't be held down to rules. He's a madman.
Yeah, I'm not gonna negotiate with your 4. If you didn't like it, you should give it 2, motherfucker.
Some men just want to watch the film burn.
You know, I found that I kind of come between, like, Bo and Martin. Like, I was genuinely bored through a lot of this, but it did keep winning me back, although not in a way that you're going, wow, this is a great film. Just that it's a fun film. I liked all the action sequences in here, even while they're filled with the normal, even cliched implausibilities that you see. You mentioned before we started recording the whole, like, falling out of a vehicle going more than 30 miles an hour will kill you. Yes. I don't care.
And then some days you just can't get rid of a bomb.
No, some days you really can't.
Or they're like, I'm alone with a very evil person. Why don't they just shoot you?
But exactly.
I did have more fun than I didn't in this, and there's a lot of little things about it I really liked, including, of course, Kenneth Branagh, who is in this because I don't know if they're ever going to let me be a James Bond villain. So I'm just gonna go, wow. And Chris Pine, who is trying. God help him. He's trying to stretch and do something interesting with Jack Ryan. The script's not letting him do but so much because it's a ridiculous script. But overall, much more fun than it's not. Even a special appearance by Mikhail Baryshnikov as a Russian government official. It was like, look, White Knights! But I'm actually going to give this a 6.5 out of 10 pieces of the Golden Gun.
Well, that's enough to make one that'll shoot.
Yeah, it is.
You might just be missing the trigger.
You know, I'd
missed it by that much.
Ha 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 ha.